It was July 21st, 1991. I stood behind this pulpit for the third time. Been here twice before, preached a message the first time from Daniel chapter 1, the second time from Hebrews chapter 4, but this time was different. Previous two had been Sunday evenings. This was a Sunday morning. Previous two, I got to turn around and go home and nothing was changed. After this Sunday morning, there would be a congregational business meeting to determine whether a call should be extended to me to come and be the pastor of the Salina then church. I had before me 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 25 through 28. That was the text God led me to. It is the text that is our text for this morning. I don't remember exactly what I said that morning, but I do remember the essence of the message. I said to the congregation, "You are taking up a serious matter in just a few moments. You are calling a person to lead this congregation. And the most important thing that you need to know about me is where I will lead you." Regardless of any of other my qualifications, abilities, or inabilities, you need to know the direction I wish to go if you are going to follow. And I said, I believe in Hebrews or in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 25 through 28, there are four essential elements of ministry that I will devote myself to. And I outlined them, and I will do that for us again this morning. In verse 25, there is this: "Brethren, pray for us." It is the element of prayer. Someone has said, and I believe rightly so, that the church advances on its knees. And I said, if you call me to be your pastor, I will see to it that we emphasize the necessity of prayer and the power of prayer and give opportunities for prayer. Secondly, in verse 26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. There is the essential element of fellowship. By fellowship, I mean that Christ's desire is for unity in purity. Notice, greet all the brethren, not some of the brethren, not just this group here or this group there or the ones that you can relate to most easily, but greet all the brethren. Have them come together and be one. But not just with a kiss, with a holy kiss. God's desire is for the brethren to fellowship together in unity, but in purity. And I said, if you call me as pastor, I will seek to provide opportunities for fellowship of the entire church. Yes, there will be times when there will be this group meeting and that group meeting, but we will be one church. We will seek unity. We will seek that unity in purity. Thirdly, verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. There is the element of preaching. And while I did not say these words at the time, because I only thought of them this past week, I said it in essence, God's word comes from His heart. Therefore, at the heart of ministry must be the word of God. I will give myself to preaching the word of God. Not just parts of it, but all of it. And then finally, verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. There is the element of grace. Now, you have heard more than likely grace defined in various ways if you've been around any Bible teaching for any period of time. There is the acronym made up of the word grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. The simple theological definition of grace is unmerited favor. But let me give you a little bit more of a practical or a working definition of grace this morning for our purposes, and that is an absolute reliance upon the provision of God in all things. And you say, wait a minute, Pastor, that sounds like faith, not grace. Isn't it interesting how faith and grace are tied together? Let me explain. He is praying for the grace of God in the Thessalonican ministry. An absolute reliance upon the provision of God. We hear a lot today about formulas. If you do this, 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 and this, then this will come about from it. And we don't want to reduce ministry to formulas. Now, certainly there are promises in the Word of God, and we don't want to confuse promises and formulas. They're different. God gives you a promise that He's going to do something or do something in response to you doing something. That becomes a matter of faith, and then there is blessing associated with it. But the opposite of grace is, I earned something. And if you go through a formula or a routine, at the end of it, you can say, I deserve this. Grace is unmerited favor. There is an absolute reliance upon God to provide for all things in ministry. That's what I committed myself to nearly 17 years ago. The congregation met after the morning service. The vote was taken. And you voted against me. No, that's not the case, obviously. With almost a unanimous vote, I was called. Question: how true have we been to these four essential ministries? Let me take a moment or two this morning and just look back over the 17 years and assess where we are in ministry. Let's look at the first one, prayer. When I came here, there was a Wednesday evening prayer ministry. There still is. Well, that's good. I believe, quite frankly, that the very most important ministry that this church has is the Wednesday night prayer ministry. Whatever good may come of this morning or any other ministry in this church, I believe it is in response to the prayers of God's saints, most of which comes on Wednesday nights. Now, I am not saying that other people don't pray throughout the week, and that anything else isn't happening there. But I honestly believe the most important ministry of this church is Wednesday nights. We are still meeting together. Bill, I'll take that $5 after the service this morning. When I came here, we had a prayer chain. We still have a prayer chain. When needs come up, you can call, and the word goes out, and a good portion of this congregation is included on that prayer chain, and prayer is made. Now, we're constantly trying to tweak the thing and make it more effective. There are some bugs in the thing. Messages get confused along the way or don't get through every once in a while, and we're looking for ways of improving it, but we still have the essential element of prayer. And people, as I noted before, are praying. Whether they're on the prayer chain or whether they come to Wednesday night, people were praying then. People are still praying on their own. That's good. One of the things that was not occurring when I first came here that has been occurring in these 17 years is what Bill Peterson just did a few moments ago. I asked if the elders would rotate on a basis here and come forward on Sunday morning so that it wouldn't just be the pastor praying, but the men who are leading this church set the example in prayer. And while I think there's still room for improvement in the last 17 years, I think we've done well in the element of prayer. What about fellowship? Well, let's look at the purity angle of it first of all. Purity comes in ecclesiastical senses. We have sought to fellowship with churches of like precious faith. We have sought to have men and women here as either preachers or missionaries that hold to the same beliefs that we hold to. And I can honestly say that in the 17 years, there has not been one person here who has doctrinally deviated from what we hold as the truth of the Word of God. That's good. We've had opportunities through various different events. There's the Valentine's banquet, the mother-daughter banquet, the father-son banquet. There's wiener roasts, Sunday school picnics, Christmas banquets, and so forth, where the congregation could get together and do the most important thing, eat. Man, I didn't even have to prompt you on that one. That's good. We've had opportunities for various different clubs and organizations to that are age-related to get together and have their own thing. And one of the things that we're looking to do now, we see a need and we're trying to supply the need, is a group for those who have graduated from high school, young adults, that they might have a fellowship. And we would desperately appreciate your input on that. We're looking for someone to lead up a ministry along those things. But one thing that we've tried to keep from happening is that we don't have just this group here and this group here, and that we all have one church. And I am so thankful for the unity that exists in this church. You may not know this after this past week, but Ben Kepler is one of my friends. Still. Ben is 16? 17? 17? Bruce Johnson is one of my friends. I know you're back there, Bruce. I just can't see you this morning. But Bruce is a little bit older than 17. And I'm thankful to say that I have friends that are older than me and younger than me, and I think most of the people in this congregation can say the same thing. What about preaching? Well, I never promised anything about length. I knew better than that. But I did promise that I would systematically seek to teach the Word of God. Over the years, I have kept track of what I have preached. In probably about 2 or 3 more years, I will have gone through the entirety of the Bible. I have not repeated any passage in the course of 17 years. But I don't want to brag about me. I want to brag about something else. A spirit that is within this fellowship that was exemplified by Mike Lyons a few years ago. Sunday school director Mike. Our Sunday school material that had been used for a long time began to deviate on its truthfulness. Mike said, without any prompting, "We will not stand for this," and changed publishers. I like that. What about grace? In the 17 years that I've been here, there has not been one fundraising event. No one sat on rocking chairs. The pastor will not stand on the rooftop and not come down until so much is raised. We've not had Ed the Wonder Horse here or anything along those lines, gimmicks. In our building fund now, we're just waiting on God to supply. We're seeking to use what He's given us and put it to work. When the need comes, the need is announced, the need is prayed for. But we rely on grace. In the preaching of the Word is not diluted. The commands of God are preached. But there is no one sticking a finger in your face and saying, "If you don't do this, you can't come here." We trust God to change hearts. That's grace. Can we do better? Certainly. In all these areas, we can do better. And after 17 years, we need to do better. I said a couple of weeks ago that, Lord willing, I'd like to continue pastoring until I'm 70. That gives me another 17 years. If I don't play basketball, I might make it. For the next 17 years, I commit myself to these four ministries, these essential elements, anew. But where is the church today going in relationship to these things? Let me review them again. Not the Salina Bible Church, but anything that calls itself the church. What's going on today? Well, let's look at, first of all, the prayer meeting. Prayer meeting, as I noted a couple of Sunday evenings ago, is a rather new invention. It was actually starting in the 1800s. A man got the idea of opening up a place for people at noontime to come and pray. And the first week that it happened, he had 6 people come. Next week there were more, and it grew and grew and grew, and they simply prayed from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. And after a while, it caught on nationwide. Stores were closing down. Businesses were allowing their employees to leave for an hour to go to prayer. The thing was so successful, the culture was being so changed by people praying, that the Atlanta Police Department actually laid off half of its force because the crime rate went down. Well, over the course of time, they said, you know what, it's a little inconvenient that we close down stores and businesses and so forth, factories for an hour. Why don't we move this to the evening? And hence the Wednesday evening service. That seems reasonable. Unfortunately, churches today don't have time for the Wednesday evening prayer service. Unfortunately, many churches today don't see the need for the fellowship coming together for corporate prayer. Because after all, we can pray on our own if we have a good system of talking with each other. And the Wednesday evening services are gone. Prayer is becoming less and less important in the church today. Fellowship, this new movement that has been gaining hold, the emerging church, sees little value in corporate fellowship. We get together at a Starbucks, because that's more convenient, or wherever the place may be. The issue isn't that we come together as a whole, but we have these small groups. Now, there is value to having small groups. But the Bible says we are to be one church. And rather than seeing ourselves as church, in fact, the way things are going now, we have the popular term is church campuses. We have a campus here and a campus there and another campus over here. And we're not one anymore. And when it comes time for fellowships, well, we don't have time for fellowships. Johnny's in sports and Susie's in gymnastics or whatever the case may be, and there's just not time for fellowship. Preaching has been replaced with dramatics. Chuck Swindoll made a statement a number of years ago, I'll never forget it. He said, sermonettes are for Christianettes. I think we got a lot of Christianettes walking around today. If a preacher goes beyond 10 minutes, it's too long. And the content of preaching has changed. We're interested in the Joel Osteen messages. God wants the very best for you over and 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 over. Or the church must be made up of a bunch of farmers. Because the preacher is telling you need to plant seeds. And that's all that we hear. And when it comes to grace, we think grace means don't be convicting. Don't take a stand. Don't be adamant about anything. Just love everybody. And if you follow this formula, in fact, the emerging church movement, the most important person is no longer a pastor. In fact, in many places, they don't have pastors. They have demographic coordinators. As I was pondering that this week, these four things, I thought of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in His return will He find faith upon the earth. I always thought that to mean, will there be any person who believes in Him his existence. No, I don't think that's what he means. I think when he's talking about the church, will the Christian church really be Christian? Will these essential elements be found in it? Or will the church be doing what it calls successful or feels good? I don't see a bright future for the church. This one I do. Because 17 years ago you said we want to go in the direction of prayer and fellowship and preaching and grace. I just committed myself to 17 more years of it. How about you? Now, I am not asking for a congregational business meeting to take place after the morning message. Not that I would worry if there was one. I do not take my position for granted. But over 17 years, I've made some relationships that are all so pleasing. By God's grace, I intend to be here for 17 more years, going this direction. What direction do you want to go? Will you commit yourself to saying, yes, prayer is an essential element in the ministry of this church. I will give myself to it. That may mean that I might have to change my Wednesday night activities around. Maybe you can't, and I understand that. But I'm going to pray for this ministry. I will give myself to fellowship because it's important that we get together when the body of Christ gets together. It's like the arm saying, oh, I can live by myself. You can unless it's attached to the body. And I know everyone can't make everything. But whenever I am able, I will be where the body of Christ congregates. Might have to change some priorities around. Preaching. I am praying that there is at least one. Actually, I'm asking the Lord for about five to come out of this ministry and go into full-time vocational work. I want at least one that at the end of my 17 years I can say to that person, take over, I'm done. Ian, is that going to be you? Maybe, we'll see. Matthew, is that going to be you? Maybe, we'll see. Corey, is that going to be you? Maybe not, we'll see. I don't know who you will be, but are you willing to say, Lord, if you want me to be, I'll be. Oh, by the way, one thing I didn't mention that in the preaching thing, preaching not only includes from this pulpit, but our extended pulpit as missionaries around the world. When I came, we had a handful. At one point, we had 17. Now, we backed off a little on that. And if you look at the map over there, we're getting pretty close to going into all the world. I'd like to see somebody in Asia. I'd like to see somebody in South America. But maybe there's a young person here this morning that God might be putting his hand upon and saying, I want you in one of those places to preach my word. Will you give yourself to the study of God's Word? Will you give yourself to grace? Which means you'll allow God to accomplish in your heart whatever He desires. You see, the attitude that says, well, I'm okay just the way I am, is the opposite of grace. If you're okay the way you are, then you deserve God's best. That's merited favor. If you're saying, Lord, I got a lot to learn, use me, fill me, mold me, shape me, renew me, that's grace. In just a second, we're going to go to prayer. The invitation normally is along these things, if God has spoken to your heart, raise your hand, and then the preacher says, yes, I see that hand. I don't have my glasses on this morning. I won't be able to say, yes, I see that hand. So I'm not going to do that. But God sees your heart. Let's pray. Father, this last 17 years of my vocational life have been the happiest, the most joyous, the most fulfilling, the most wonderful 17 years of my life. You have brought me to a place where I have grown to love these folks. And I have appreciated the love that has been extended in return. And Lord, if it pleases you, for another 17 years, I'd like to enjoy the same. And Lord, again, I give myself to going in the direction of ministry that's laid out here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But Father, I can only lead. And a leader needs followers. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us this morning that we would have hearts to follow you. I may point the direction, but you are the leader. This is your church. Lord, maybe there's one, if I would give an invitation this morning, that would raise their hand to one or more of these things. You see the heart. I pray, Father, that the decision would be carried through. And Lord, in the next 17 years, if we are so allowed, may this church accomplish all that is in the will of God and bring the greatest honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave the totality of Himself for us when He died for us on Calvary's cross. Lord, you deserve everything. May we respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.